Hello, and welcome to episode 60 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we'll talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Amy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Robin, Andy, and Elizabeth. Travel is about making memories that last a lifetime and broadening your worldview and your perspective. One thing that pretty much everyone does on vacation is buy souvenirs. Some of us have a go-to item that we have to buy on every trip, thereby building a sort of memory collection to display and share with our family and friends. So let's explore what some of those favorite souvenirs are.
All right. Well, I'll talk about one that I used to do and I stopped doing, and I'll say why. I used to get a magnet at every place I went, and the cheesier the better. But I wanted something that would sort of represent where I was, even if it was in a cheesy way. The problem is the magnets I was buying were very fragile, it turns out. And when you have children, that collection just goes away. It was amazing how quickly all of my memories from before children for travel just vanished into little shards on the floor of the kitchen because they were all on the refrigerator. Yeah. So magnets are good. Just make sure they're out of the reach of the little grubby paws.
I think. Wanted to jump on the magnets thing because I also used to collect magnets. And one of the things I did when I first came over to the States was I was convinced I was going to visit all 50 states and I was going to get those really, you know, the 50 states magnets and display them geographical the finery upon my refrigerator. Well, I did a fair bit of traveling and, fridges are only finite in size. And it was becoming sort of, where's your fridge? Oh, that's it underneath all the magnets. Yeah, it was just becoming a little bit ridiculous. Really kind of cool, but when you can't find the ice maker, it's a
It's true. It was getting to be that. And actually, I have a side area on my fridge where I could keep some of them. And so the few remaining ones that I have on the side. But it's really impractical now to collect those. So
I saw a cool idea in a house that I saw where they had, there's like a magnet paint you can buy now.
Yes.
And they had painted a wall and they did exactly what you're saying, Andy. They had a state magnet for every state and they had mapped it out. So it looked like the whole United States. It was really cool. That's cool.
Yeah. You can buy a backing for it as well. That actually puts your magnets on those. I've seen those. I've never broke down and got one, but so. I also sort of set up Western Europe in the different countries' magnets that I visited as well. So it was, and I actually tried to sort of space them out, sort of from like you know USA on the US on the like the western part of the fridge, and Western Europe on the eastern side of the fridge with an Atlantic Ocean in the middle.
Separate but equal. We've collected magnets in the past, and sometimes a lot of them got broken. And then one Christmas, we used to put all of our Christmas cards on the garage door, like the inside. And Russ decided one year at Christmas that he wanted to put all of the cards on the fridge. So he cleared off the whole thing, and I never was able to find the magnets. He probably threw them out.
Oh.
So
I sense that he had ulterior motives.
I still do magnets every once in a while, but my daughter has been collecting. She's been in a lot of places, a lot of countries, and she's been collecting keychains. So she has a cork board in her room, and she actually stick pins each of her keychains up. So she sees those, and I see those.
That's
it's pretty cool.
Does she do that in geographical locations, sort of trying to make a map?
No, not yet. No, she's pretty organized. No, but they're just pinned up there very neatly right now.
That is kind of a cool idea, either with magnets or with keychains or something, to make a world map. If you have a big enough wall where you could do that, sort of devote it to travel, that is kind of cool. It's sort of like putting a pin in the map, except instead of a pin, you're putting, a magnet or whatever. That's a very cool idea, if you're artistically inclined.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I used to collect bumper stickers. We'd go, because I did a lot of traveling. I was on a teen tour around the United States when I was 16, and I started putting them on my door. my mother was not happy, but by that point it was about half full, so she let me finish it, and I had a whole door full of bumper stickers.
Oh my gosh.
The bumper stickers actually had the state names on them, or was it just a funny bumper sticker from each?
No, they were bumper stickers from the states, or from the cities.
That's kind of
cool. I told my dad it was better than putting it on his car.
One of the things you see a lot in Europe, I don't see them quite so much here, but they often have the little stickers, and I think they're really sort of, you call them bumper stickers here, but then put them in your window, of different sort of coats of arms of either the different countries or states or cities around Europe. They're very, very popular over there. I often see sort of somebody who's done a bit of travel, I'm surprised they can sit out the rearview mirror, because the back when the rear window is all covered with these different things like the Principality of Liechtenstein, the state of Monaco, or the city of Brunswick. They have sort of, 20 or 30 of these all over it. Particularly, you see them in camper vans.
Are they like vinyls, or are they stickers?
They're stickers, yeah. But they're kind of reflective. Some of them almost like hologram type things.
Mm-hmm. I've seen those.
They're very, very popular in Europe. I don't see them quite so much here, but I used to collect those as well.
That's almost like the idea of stickering your suitcase. That's like a typical sort of old-fashioned thing.
That's going back a bit.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard to put a sticker on a soft-sided luggage, but that's actually kind of a cool thing to do.
That is cool. I want to do that.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea, actually, because then everybody who's traveling sees all the cool places you've been.
Yeah.
So
I started, when I travel without my kids, even with the kids, actually, so I can't even say that, we will, if it's cool enough, we'll get a cool T-shirt. It can't just be a cheesy, I don't know. Like, it has to fit right. It's a little weird again. So, So I like it when I see them wear the Exhumas T-shirt now.
Mm-hmm. When I was a teenager, I would collect T-shirts from, I just went blank.
Hard Rock?
Yes.
Yeah, I did that, too. I totally did that, too.
I seriously had about 20 of them at one point. Just from different places. It was from like my mid-teens to my probably my late 20s. And I would just sleep in them. It was so funny.
Yeah, I got one in London when I was, I guess, 13, the first time I went to London. And I thought that was just so super cool. And then I think when I was 16, I got one in Los Angeles. And I thought that was super cool. And then by then, they had them open all over the place. So you could get one like freaking anywhere. Myrtle Beach had one.
Right.
And Asheville had one. And so I was like, okay, well, this has sort of lost its charm.
I'm not cool anymore.
Yeah, I'm not nearly as cool as I was before.
Well, and my parents didn't get that. If they went and brought me one, it wasn't the same as me going to the...
Yeah.
To the place and buying it myself.
So the one thing that I did when I was traveling around Europe, it's, when you're hitting a lot of countries, one of the things that I thought was pretty cool to do, and it's not absolutely necessary, and I've had some strange looks doing it, is actually making a point to get my passport stamped at every border crossing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so my old passport is just loaded up with, and some places have really boring stamps, and some have some really beautiful and intricate ones. It's like, oh my God, you can tell these states that have money. Like Liechtenstein, for example, is this ornate sort of coat of arms, and it takes almost like half a page. And we just made a point, whenever we were traveling, of just getting out. And I say, this is after the Schengen Agreement, so there's freedom of movement across borders. You could go from Germany to France without having to stop. There's still a border, and there's still, officials there. But we'd pull over and they said that we'd be in a French car. And it's like, no, you don't need to stop. He says, no, but we want to stop. But why? And they say, oh, English. And so they'd humor me and dump my passport. And we go on
the way. That's a nice, inexpensive one.
It is.
Yeah. I've been saving money a bit for it.
I think that's
my daughter still has some of her coins.
Oh, sorry. People don't realize that the stamps aren't automatic. Like, they think that as soon as they go in, that country's going to. So that's actually a really good point, is sometimes you do have to ask for it because they won't necessarily stamp.
Yeah, most of them. I mean, I think we're in Italy one time, and the guy had to, like, he was rooting around a drawer trying to find his stamp. It's like, I don't really do this very often. But he was good and very, it was good of him to go ahead and take care of it for, isn't it?
Amy, what were you going to say? Sorry.
Coins, You talked about that earlier, and my daughter did do that too. So she'll have like coins from Iceland and coins from Australia. And that's kind of cool. Like, I don't know if she meant to collect them or not, but she has a bowl. She's just thrown all these coins from different countries in.
They are cool. I mean, it's amazing.
They're different.
They're very different. I got some, where I'm from in Northern England, a lot of the immigrant populations from India and Pakistan. And some of these Pakistani coins, they were kind of sort of filigreed around the outside and weren't round. I mean, you know, and a lot of the British currency, there's nine-sided coins and seven-sided coins.
That's cool.
You know, everything's just a little
bit. That would be cool.
I actually did that as well, and I'm really glad I did because most of my European travels had been before the European Union. So now I have money that doesn't exist anymore, which is really cool as well. Yeah,
that's cool.
So, and coins, you can't really exchange them back. You're sort of stuck with them. So you might as well collect them. And so that's what we would do when we came home from somewhere. We would try to spend out our coins, but right before that, we would pull out one of each, kind and bring those, make sure that we put those aside. And sometimes we ended up with others, but at least we had one of each kind. And I have a little cup upstairs that's got all these worthless.
You can learn an awful lot about currency by country by looking at its currency. I mean, I used to learn sort of the heads of state back in the 80s. You know, you'd get coins from the Netherlands and they'd have Beatrix on. And, which ones had sort of, really didn't have a monarchy, but, they had sort of cultural icons on there, like the Madeleine from in France and things like that, just different cultural people.
I have an expensive one I sort of did as a teenager. Whenever my mom and I would travel together, I had to find a swatch store wherever I was in these big cities. Remember the swatches? And I probably had 15 swatches at one point.
But that's okay because you could wear three at a time, and that was
cool. Oh my gosh, yes, yeah, with little guards on them. Loved all those. I even had one from the Olympics back
in Atlanta. Please don't tell me you were late as well.
Lots of battery money. But the bad thing is, once I got a puppy at one point, the puppy found them and chewed most of them. It was so sad. Isn't that awful? It was heartbreaking. He chewed all my swatches. But yeah, that was a fun one back in the day when they had swatch stores everywhere.
Well, and that is, talking about jewelry, people now collect those Pandora beads when they travel.
Right.
And that's an expensive little hobby, but, and kind of time consuming too, because you have to seek those stores out. And, it's sort of an interesting concept to me. But I'm not knocking it, but it is, there's avid collectors, and I've been to buy a Pandora store that had a line all the way out the door when a new bead came out. So that's, I know, a big one as well.
Well, one of the things you can do, particularly on a cruise, is you arrive at the port terminal and you always get the Diamonds International stores. What I've done for my daughter is get her the free jars. And they all have something that's, And I know it's a way to get you in and try and get to spend money, but they do offer these. And if you have younger daughters, maybe six, she loves those things. And
right.
It was always, we get something from Belize or, Roatan or something like that. And it was just something different. And,
meant
something for her from the trip.
Right. While we're talking about cruises, my son loves each ship that we go on. He thinks the ships are fascinating. He's got that sort of like boy fascination with like, where's the slide and where's the, so for every time we get on a ship, we get him the model for that ship. And they're all like made by the same company. I think they all are very similar, but they do make them with unique characteristics of the ship. And so he'll get one and he'll play with it for hours. He'll point out where our cabin was and where his favorite slide was and where.
That's
so
cool.
That
is cool.
Yeah. He loves them. And I think he's got five now, which is astonishing for a 9-year old boy. He's very spoiled, I guess. But, and we also agreed, like sometimes I go on cruises without them for work and I don't get him those because, he hasn't been on the ship. So he has to be able to identify with that ship in order to get the model.
To have significance.
Yeah, exactly. So
we get Christmas ornaments from a lot of places that we go. And I try not to find, just the average, the regular ball that says, Mexico or something. I try to find something a little unique. So we have one from our honeymoon in Hawaii, and it's a Santa made out of some type of straw with a, like a Hawaiian bathing suit on under a palm tree.
You still have it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice.
Yep, 19 years.
Wow.
So I have a cheap one, and this is my husband. I go for swatches. My husband, wherever we go, we usually do the Caribbean destinations together, and he'll find a seashell for everywhere. So he has a plate up on his dresser. I could not tell you where each one is from, but it's a bunch of seashells from different Caribbean
places. That's cool, though.
Places. Yeah, that's his thing.
Yeah, as now in my adult years, I will say I've started collecting bar mats. You know, the
yes, the coasters.
Yeah, so if you go into a pub or, you know, something for a drink, as I am wont to do when I'm on vacation, then I'll pull one of those, you know, the pub mats. And so I actually have I have several of them now, and it's really fun to look back at those. And I use them. I'm not too worried about, you know, ruining them or anything, but it's really fun to look back because usually you have some memory of that place. Sometimes it involves drunkenness, and sometimes
I was going to say,
yeah. You always have a memory of it. That's the
I was wondering how we were going to tie alcohol. Well done. Well played.
Thank you. Well, and it's absolutely, I didn't even make it up for the sake of getting alcohol into the conversation. I really do that. So I enjoy that very much now as an adult.
And I do.
It's free-ish.
Some of the local beverages when I'm there, like the local beer or something, because I'm interested in that. But I never bring the bottles home. I guess my memories are all sort of intangible.
Well, and I don't bring the bottles home either, but the bar mat is enough to, you know, take me back there. So
it's not going to fill up your suitcase.
Yeah, it's very light. True. Yeah, it's very light. In fact, that's the hardest thing about it is making sure that it doesn't get crushed when you, because they can, you know, bend pretty easily. So you just have to pack them well. But
So what's the most unique thing you ever heard of somebody collecting while on the travels?
Legally or illegally?
Oh, now we're talking.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I don't think we're going to talk about illegal on this podcast. I don't want us to incriminate anyone. But, I think, though, like, the pieces of the Great Wall, I mean, the Great Wall, of the Berlin Wall, excuse me, yes, as they came down.
That's illegal,
and,
isn't it?
Well, I think...
Well, I think they've sold enough remnants of the walls have built about six.
Yes, exactly. I think there's now a question, unless you went and picked it up yourself, you know, from the rubble, there'd be a question as to the authenticity of it. But yeah, that sort of thing, you know, being able to take a piece of something with you legally is a great concept, I think. But and the Berlin Wall is the only thing that I can think of off the top of my head where you can really do that, because normally they frown upon you taking pieces of their monuments away. So
my grandparents brought me a piece of the Berlin Wall that they actually picked up when they were there. And my grandmother's so funny. She's like, okay, this is something you're never going to get another thing like this. And of course, with all the moves, who knows where it ended up.
Oh, no.
So sad, but I have the memories.
What about you, Andy? What do you have that...
I'm just curious as to what... I mean... My memories now, I'm trying to sort of purge a lot of my old stuff. And a lot of my memories are sort of up in my head now, which I think is probably, I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. This is on postcard.
Yeah, now it's probably okay, but a few more years.
Yeah, a few more years.
Did you see my post? As long as you're drinking 3 glasses of champagne a day or a week, your Alzheimer's will stay away. So just keep drinking some champagne.
Okay. Good to know.
I'm sort of, you know, really not one for collecting a lot of things now. Not physical things from a trip. One, they take up room. That's what you've really got to be careful for, and they can add to the weight when you're coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to buy T-shirts and things like that. I'm just wondering, you know, I mean, I haven't really heard of anything crazy that people sort of make a habit of bringing back. But I just wonder whether you guys have.
I think it's hard to make a habit of that because, the crazy ones are usually, you can only get it in that one place. Whereas a magnet or a Christmas ornament, you can find anywhere. I certainly hear people bringing back dirt, sand, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how crazy that is.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's right. They ask you about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I remember actually when I think I was in middle school, and a friend of mine had gone to the island of Tenerife. And had brought back some black volcanic sand. I had never seen black sand before. And so I totally get that. Mm-hmm. That people sort of want to sort of pick up, save some sand, bring some sand back from different places. I mean, there's so many different types of sand. There's the golden sand you see at Blackpool.
Well, and I think Lindsay, she's not here to verify this, but I think Lindsay said that that's actually something she does, is she brings back like vials of sand from the different beaches that she visits. So I think it was Lindsay who said that. So if it wasn't one of us, I'm pretty sure it's not Sandy. Maybe it is Sandy, but so that is kind of if you're a big beach bum, that would be a fun thing to do.
Sure, yeah. I think that ties in with the shells. You've got to be careful there as well. I mean, there are places where you're not allowed to take anything off the beach.
Mm-hmm.
But so just make sure you're not violating any sort of laws from wherever you happen to be traveling to. I think my mother used to collect commemorative teaspoons.
I have a friend who collected those.
Yeah. Actually, my mom had a little silver collection of those. I always marveled at it. It was hanging on the wall, and I was like, what? Mm-hmm. Who does that? Who collects those besides my mother? But apparently a lot of people do.
A lot of people do, yeah. I couldn't tell you what happened to them all. It was probably my fault she started collecting them in the first place.
What, you drove her to drink a lot of tea? Is that...
Hey, we're English.
They don't need an excuse.
I'm going to wrap this up. And that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode, or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com. Then click podcast at the top of the page. Find the episode you wish to comment on, or like us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/outlandercast, or just search Fly Away, or email us at info@outlandertravel.com. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Robin, Elizabeth, Andy, and myself, Amy, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel. See you next week. Gotta fly.